Good morning. Bobby Neely and Lois Hackard from Parsons sends their greetings and their love, and they say they miss y'all really bad. Had to pass that message on. The way, the truth, and the life. What rings out in your mind? What rings out in your soul when you hear these words? This morning, I'll be reading from some scripture if you want to turn there. There'll also be some scripture up on the screen soon. But I'll be starting reading in John 13. John 13, from the beginning. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was turning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around himself. First, I want to stop, and I want you to think about what Jesus is doing here. I mean, it's not really a thing that someone as special as Jesus, according to his disciples, it's almost like a servant and a king washing a servant's feet. You just didn't hear of it. It didn't make any sense. So I'm thinking at this moment, it probably kind of maybe quieted the disciples down a little bit, and they were kind of going, what is he doing? You know, what is Jesus doing that he would wash our feet? As it came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you not know and realize what I'm doing now, but you will later understand. Peter said, no, you shall never wash my feet. Why do you suppose Peter said that to Jesus? What makes you think? Why would Peter say that, no, you're not going to wash my feet? Nobody else had a problem, right? But why did Peter say, no, you don't wash my feet? Jesus answered, unless I wash you and your feet, you have no part with me. Then Peter replied to him, okay, then. You can wash my feet, but also wash my hands and my head as well. I'm thinking, you know, love Peter, but that's Peter, you know. It almost thinks, was that like a comeback, or was he getting arrogant, or was he being sassy? I kind of think maybe a little bit. And Jesus said, no, your hands and your head are clean. So they don't need to be washed. They're already clean. But unlike one of you who is at this table is unclean. Who he was talking about was Judas, who had already betrayed him. And for what? Greed? Money? Maybe some kind of power he thought authority had over that? But he did. And Jesus pretty much told the disciples, he goes, and he said that one of you will betray me. And then they all started to look at one another, like, you know, like, who is it? And there was 11 of those men that knew it wasn't them. But there was one of them that knew, yes, I'm the one, and I'm caught. So Jesus said, go quickly and do your deed. As the night progressed on, you have to think about this. I want you to think about this for a minute. Jesus came to the feast that night. And can you imagine the weight of emotions that must have been on his heart? Because he knew what was going to happen. But the disciples, they came to the feast, you know, let's go eat, let's go fellowship, let's go have a party, let's get together and have a good time, right? But they didn't know what was coming. They didn't know what was coming. So through the course of the night, Jesus mentions to the disciples, he said, you know, y'all should wash each other's feet. And what did he mean by this? You know, I don't think he literally meant, yes, of course, you know, wash each other's feet when they're dirty. And it's also was like a kind of a thing of humility, kind of a way of humbleness, a way of kind of like respecting somebody. So I think when Jesus brought this point up, he wasn't just talking about washing feet. He was talking about respecting one another, be there for one another, uphold one another, lift each other up, humble yourself into one another. And then he went about the night and he said, I have a new command. I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And church, I want you to think about this, how important what's happening here. You know, this is about telling us and commanding us, first of all, in the church, to love one another. Get along with each other. You know, and rebuke each other if you need. Because if we can't get along within the church, how in the world is this world going to see Christ through us if we're bickering? Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for you. And here again, Peter, so confident, which I love. He's so confident. But you know what? When push comes to shove sometimes, how would you respond? Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? And you know, I think in Peter's mind, he truly felt like, yes, I would definitely give my life for you, Lord. I would do anything for you. You're Jesus. Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you would disown me three times. So let's stop and let's think about what's happening here. We started out everybody enjoying a good dinner and conversation, and then it seemed to escalate. And it's really escalating uphill, but it almost seemed like it was downhill. You know, because I'm sure there was a lot of emotion stirred at this point. So here we found out in our group there's a betrayer, and he's gone. We had Peter kind of mouthing off to Jesus about washing his feet, and then telling him that, you know, you're going to deny me. You lay down your life for me, but you're going to deny me three times when push comes to shove. And you know, Jesus, his heart was troubled. Have you ever had a troubled heart? I know that's kind of a silly question. But we talked about that this morning in class. We talked about a heavy heart. We talked about, Bobby said, you know, it's like a heavy heart is like in the mind. It's in the mind. Yeah, it is in the mind. But you know what? It's also in the spirit. It's in the soul. Have you ever been in a dispute with somebody? Or like, I can think of a time where maybe I kind of mouthed off and created a spat between me and Sharon. And then I left mad. And I went to work, and all day long, I could not function. I functioned like a robot, but I could not function in my heart because the joy was missing. Why? Because there was that dispute. And I pick up the phone with Sharon. I'm sorry. It's my fault. She goes, it's okay. I know. No, it's okay. But, and then it was like, it was lifted. It was lifted. And that's not in the mind. That's in the heart. So Jesus, and you go to the first set of scriptures, Paul. Jesus, knowing that he was troubled, he knows that his disciples are troubled, he knows that it was his last time to be with them. This was the last time together. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in me. Excuse me, I'm going to read this. Sorry, guys. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Listen, you know the way. You know the way to the place where I am going. What do you think? What do you think they thought at this moment before Jesus gave the next answer? You know the way. You know, I love the first picture that James put together. I really appreciate it. He did an amazing job. I said I gave him the way, the truth, and the life, and you find a picture, right? Beautiful. A road leading into the sunset with a sign that says the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the Sweet Expression Group, which James has been over many years, me and Sharon and Debbie and several others used to sing in that group. We went to place after place after place to sing, to minister to people through song. There's times we'd go three places in one weekend. If I remember correctly, James used to make us, oh yes, this was before GPS and phones and all this and that. James used to make us little maps that would guide us to where we're going. Without those maps, we'd been driving around the city all night long trying to find the church, right? But he gave us a map. He gave us a way. At this point, Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? So I'm thinking, maybe Thomas was looking for one of those maps. One of those maps that gave the direction to the way to where Jesus was going, to where they could find him when they got there. And then Jesus answered, and you know, guys, this is such a powerful, powerful moment in history. He says, I am the way. He said, you know the way. I am the way. And I'm the truth. And I am the life. You know, the next thing he said was probably the most important thing he could have said. And you know where it begins, y'all? It first begins in believing. It begins in believing in Jesus. That's the first step. Because without believing in Jesus, then there is no way. There is no truth. There is no life. And he said, as Thomas to answer the question, as all the disciples are anxiously waiting his answer, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way to the Father, the truth of the Father, and the life to the Father is through me. You know, talking about truth, my daughter Michaela, you know, she is out there counseling children and families, and always hear or talk about, so what does that look like? So what does that look like? I'm thinking, so what does that look like? The way, the truth, and the life. What I've done is I've researched some scripture that talks about just that. And the next set of scripture, thank you. The way. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. You know, Jesus is the great shepherd, and his voice rings out to us, and we are his sheep that hear his voice. I gave a sermon a while back talking about sheep. And a true fact about actual, you know, sheep, the actual little animals, they truly respond only to the shepherd. Their shepherd. Mark and Meg are smiling. But anyhow, they did a little, you know, a little experiment. I actually looked it up on online, and it was a shepherd that brought three people out to the pasture where his flock was, and he said, okay, now, to this woman, call the sheep. So she yelled out to the sheep, and not one of the sheep raised its head. Not one. Didn't even move. And then another man came up, and he screamed out to the sheep, come on! He was yelling and screaming, sheep, sheep! Not one of the sheep responded at all. And then so on and so on. The shepherd, and I'm not going to do the shepherd yell, but he screamed out to his sheep, and I'm talking, their heads raised, and they came flocking to him. Only to him. Can we go to the next slide, Paul? The truth. What is truth? What is it? If I were to give y'all a pad and pencil, and all of you, and I say, okay, I want you to write down a definition of truth. Sounds pretty simple, right? What would you say, maybe? Not a lie, you know? Maybe it could be an answer, or what is truth? You know, interesting how Jesus was accused by his own people. Accused of many things, blasphemy, creating an uprising against the leaders, calling himself a king. How can this man call himself a king? You know, he was brought before Pilate, and actually handed over by his own people. And Pilate asked him, he goes, you claim you're a king? Are you a king? And he goes, Jesus said to him, he goes, is that something you came up with your own, or did you talk to somebody that told you that? And he goes, well, what is it you have done? I mean, your own people have handed you over to me. What is it you have done? I mean, Pilate really didn't even know. Here's this authority that they gave Jesus to him to convict and crucify. And he goes, well, what did he do? So here's Jesus and Pilate together. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place. And then Pilate says, you are a king then. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to it. And I'm thinking Pilate's kind of sitting here, and he seemed that Pilate was interested in going, wow, quite intriguing what this man has to say. And probably one of the last things that it mentions that Pilate said to Jesus before Pilate just went ahead and just turned him over, traded him off for Barabbas. He said, what is truth? What is truth? Paul, can we go to the next slide, please? The life. Precious life. You know, I think back over the past year to how precious life is. We cherish it, don't we? We hang on to it. We fight for it. We fight against battles within our bodies to stay alive, don't we? How precious life is. But you know what? This life is not about true life. It's not about true living. This is just a passage. It's just a journey. It's just a path. John 1, it says, in the beginning, and I want to stop right there. What does it make you think like? In the beginning. I go, wait a minute, you sure we're not at the beginning of the Bible? I like how it says in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that He has been made. In Him was life. And the life that was the light of all mankind, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So life was from the beginning. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to me except through the Father. As he stood there in front of his disciples, I can only imagine he must have just been glowing with this radiance of life, of spirit, of light. He says, you know, if you know me, then you know the Father. Because the Father is within me and I'm within the Father. You know, as we continue to ponder about this, I want you to think about, what does it mean to you? After talking about the way, do you have a new thought and focus on what it means to you? Or what it should mean to you, or what it should mean to the world, or what it should mean to what we can show the world? Because you know, we know the way, right? And the truth, and the life. You know, I read something as I was preparing for this sermon. And it really kind of, I felt like it really summed up what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples. You know, I could only imagine that Christ really got frustrated with them. Because they walked with him. They saw his miracles. They felt his love. They showed his passion. But still, even up to the end, they were still confused. But I read this and I felt like it was a really good, kind of a nutshell for them to use to continue, because they would continue on, hopefully teaching what he had taught them. And what is he's trying to show us in our lives, y'all. Jesus is giving us a better way to live our lives through him. He's showing us that through following him daily in faith, that he will lead us to a better, richer, more meaningful life than we could ever find on our own. You know, I think about Jesus and how authentic he was. How unique, how peculiar. It made me think back to the woman that was accused of adultery. And Jesus said to the crowd, the angry mob, the stirred up hornet's nest, he said, for those of you, or for any of you, or for one of you, without sin, you cast the first stone. Could one of you out here today, could you have cast the first stone? But you know what was interesting about that, and I just recently thought about it or pondered on it, and it came to my heart, was there is one in that crowd that could have cast the first stone. And that was Jesus. But he came to stop it. Because he didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And do you know what? He's the only one from the beginning of time until the end of this time, to the eternity, that could ever say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Got a question for y'all. Actually, it's not a question. It's a statement. It's a fact. You're the church, right? Body of Christ. Together in spirit, we truly are as one. But you know what? You are not the way. But you know the way. You are not the truth. But you know the truth, and the truth lives in you. You are not the life, but you have the opportunity to obtain life through the way he leads you, the truth he brings to you, and to the life, or his life, that he gave up for you. Can you hear him? Can you hear our Savior calling? Where he leads you, will you follow? And if so, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Follow him all the way. If there's any out there that have any concerns, needs prayers, has a desire to pick up your cross and to allow Jesus to enter inside your heart, to confess, to repent, to be baptized, anything in your life that you have any concerns or desires for, let us all stand together and sing.